Bismillah ve salatu ve selam ala Resulillah ve ala alihi ve sahbihi ve men ve ala nevene te'allem ve te'alim ve nefur entifa' ve tezekkür ve tezkir ve ifade ve istifade ve hat ala temesik bi kitabillah ve sunnet Resulihi sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem ve dua ila huda ve delale ala khayr ibtiga'a ve cillahi te'ala ve mardatı yukurbihi ve thababihi subhanahu ve te'ala. We've reached verse number 48, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And they say, when will this promise come to pass, if you are truthful? And so we discussed yesterday the verses that preceded it. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمَ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنِ يَدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفُكُمْ لَعَلُّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Yet when they are told, beware of what lies before and behind you, so that you may be given mercy. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِدِينَ. They ignore every single sign that comes to them from their Lord. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا نُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. And unto billahin dalal mubin. And when they are told, give to others out of what God has provided for you, those who disbelieve say to those who believe, why should we feed those that God could feed if He wanted? You must be deeply misguided. And then we have reached verse number 48 that with that. And so that we left off with this discussion of the perspective of some of the disbelievers that fail to see the wisdom in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, and why it is that He that created things as He did subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is our responsibility towards them. Is that yes, He subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful, yes, He does whatever He wills, but He also has created His creation in with means, and He has given people different circumstances that they must respond to, and that each person's situation is a test for them, but also that for other people. So the people that have less are a test for people that have more, and the people that have more are a test for people that have less. And in general, this is the nature of this world, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed that His bounty that amongst creation, and people receive it in different ways. And subhanAllah, that you find someone that will be without in relation to something outwardly, but they're granted some type of blessing inwardly. Someone else has something that inwardly or outwardly, but they are missing something that is inward. And so forth and so on. Allah Ta'ala has that balanced His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why in relation to all of these tests, the general principle is, as that if it is an affliction that is difficult, we must be patient. And if it is a blessing, that one must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least. And then there's higher degrees. Is that when the higher degree in relation to patience is not to merely be patient, it's actually to be content. And then the higher degree of having something and giving thanks for it is to actually prefer others over your own self. And there's a famous story of two of the righteous, where one was asking the other about the state of the aspirants who are seeking closeness to Allah where he was from. So one of them says, is that when they're given, they're thankful. And when they're prevented, they're patient. And this particular individual was from modern day Afghanistan. And he said, that's the state of dogs in Balkh. Right? Dogs are like that. You give them something, right? They're thankful. Right? You don't, they just wait. And wait, and wait, and wait. He says, the people where I'm from, is that when they're given, they prefer others over themselves. And when that they're prevented, is that they're thankful. So their thankfulness is actually in seeing that tribulation as a blessing. And so that with going through tribulation, it's a higher state to one, not just be patient, but to also be content, and to actually see it from the inward perspective as an opportunity and a blessing. And that this is why this perspective is that what really differentiates some people from others. As we're all required to do the outward dimension of the religion, And there's various degrees even in that we'll perform those obligations and recommended acts. But really where people are differentiated is internally. How do we view things? How do we respond to things? In particular, what are the traits that come to the surface of the heart in these various circumstances? And it's not enough for us just to simply learn about them. That helps. But we need to that live a life whereby which we are exposing ourselves to the sweet breezes of Allah Ta'ala's mercy so we can be granted them and that we can be blessed with them. And we also have to do our part of that struggling to attain them and emulating the people that we know that have them. So in verse number 48, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And then they say, and this is of course referring to again the disbelievers, مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ. When will this promise come to pass? If you are truthful, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And this is not a real question. And oftentimes, when people ask questions, they're not real questions. And this is a rhetorical tool, or can be used as a rhetorical tool, that is a question other than a real question, to convey something. And we see this used throughout the Quran. However, here it's a different thing. That this is a question that is being posed, but really it's negative because it's mockery. Is that they are doing this istihza'an, that to ridicule and to mock the people of belief. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ. When is this promise? And I believe we mentioned in the first session the seven themes of the Qur'an by Ibn Juzay al-Kalbi. One of the categories is al-wa'd, and the other, another second one of the seven is al-wa'id. And the al-wa'd is a promise from Allah Ta'ala. And those promises that Allah Ta'ala makes, they can manifest here in this world. For instance, that in relation to some of the things that pertain to taqwa, and receiving provision from where you do not even expect. But then that the other manifestation of the promises that Allah makes in the Quran, is in the next world. So they can manifest in this world or the next, but promises that if you do this, this is going to happen, or that this is coming. And then that you have the wa'id, which are warnings, that if you do this, this is going to happen, or this is coming. And so there's al-wa'd and al-wa'id. And so the disbelievers are saying here that mocking the people of belief, when will this promise come to pass if you are truthful? In other words, is that they're referring to the qiyamah, but they don't really believe that it's going to happen. Is that they're poking fun. They don't believe in this promise. And that this is an address that to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to the companions, first and foremost. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. This is an address to them. And then by extension, all of the other meanings that come to those that are like them, archetypally speaking, later. And Imam al-Razi says about this, that this is an indication as that what they actually, that really believed, is that when they were commanded to have taqwa, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَمِ اتَّقُوا, is that, or when they were commanded to give out, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا, is that they didn't see any benefit in having taqwa or giving out. Why? Because they didn't believe in the promise, which is that there is an afterlife, that there is a resurrection, is that we will return unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not think that there was any reality to that. And when we quoted the verse yesterday, is that part of their disbelief in this was to also that mock the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for him not having the exact knowledge of that when the hour and the day of the resurrection was. But this is actually really amazing to think about it. And that another example of that is that when the Prophet was asked about the ruh, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ, they ask you about the spirit. And that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responded is that he didn't have knowledge of the ruh. And that if you think about that, the fact that that's in the Quran, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي, say that the ruh is from the affair of my Lord, is that if people were trying to get a following, were doing things with ulterior motives, is that they're not going to say that they don't know an answer to a particular question. So these are proofs of that his that sincerity and his truthfulness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So that also with the day of the hour, with the day of judgment and the hour, is that he, Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقْتِهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. They question you about the hour. When will it set in? Say, knowledge of it lies only with my Lord. None shall manifest it. None save him, save he shall manifest it at its proper time. So this is a knowledge that solely with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But then, is that when they say this, and they pose this in the form of a question, مَتَ هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, then Allah Ta'ala responds to them, مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا سَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ. They await but a single cry, a sayha wahida, that will seize them while they dispute, or you could translate it, while they dispute amongst themselves. And depending upon whether you recite it يَخِصِّمُونَ or يَخْصِمُونَ, both are valid qira'ats, and that it would slightly change the translation of it. If يَخِصِّمُونَ, that while they dispute among themselves. If you would say وَهُمْ يَخْصِمُونَ, is that while they dispute. They both are the qira'at that are read. So مَا يَنْظُرُونَ, normally think of نَظَر يَنْظُرُ is to gaze. Here it means يَنْتَظِرُونَ, they await. إِلَّا, save or but, سَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً, we've already spoken about the سَيْحَة before, that but a single cry. And the ulama say this refers to the nafkhatul ula, the first blowing of the horn or the trumpet by Israfil. تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ, that will seize them while they dispute among themselves. So in other words, they await but a single cry, i.e. is that they are that awaiting what is going to befall them from punishment on the Qiyamah. The only thing between them that and that is this nafkha wahida, is that single cry. And that it is a nafkha, once that is the horn is blown, is that every soul on the face of this earth that will immediately be taken suddenly. تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخَسِّمُونَ, that will seize them while they dispute, or while they dispute among themselves. And the scholars say is that while they dispute among themselves in relation to buying and selling, i.e. in the marketplace and in other worldly things, they will be preoccupied with their worldly affairs when this will happen. They'll be speaking, eating, and drinking. And that this is similar to where Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْضَةً, then we seize them suddenly, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, while they do not even realize. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْضَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, that will they not await that save an hour that seizes them suddenly while they do not realize. And that there is that hadith on the authority of Ibn Umar that he says is that the horn will be blown, is that while people are walking, while they're in the marketplace, while they are sitting, i.e. sitting and talking. And he goes into details about that, how that people, what they will be doing when that horn is blown. And that the Prophet ﷺ that indicated this in a hadith as well, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Bukhari and Muslim, is that and all of this indicates is that the hour will come all of a sudden, It's not something that happens that where people that they're ready for it. مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ يَخَسِمُونَ. So the way that this is structured in Arabic indicates that this is something that happens without their knowledge, and this is something that happens very quickly. And that Imam al-Razi points out the nature of the human being when we hear a loud sound that we're not ready for. If you're just walking down the hall and you don't think anyone's at home, and then all of a sudden someone that, even without, if they step out in the hallway, yeah, because you physically see them, but even if they don't step out in the hallway, they're behind you and they make a noise, and you're just not aware that anyone else is there, and you hear a loud noise, what happens? Right, we tremble. We oftentimes move, and we shake. And if that is the case with even a relatively loud sound, what about the sayha that Allah Ta'ala is referring to? And that meaning that people will be doing their worldly affairs. They'll be going about their worldly affairs. They'll be doing whatever it is that they're doing. Then all of a sudden, a sayha wahida, ta'khudhum. They'll be seized by it. Wahum yakhasimun, while they dispute. They're disputing amongst themselves and they don't even realize, and gone. The souls of every single person is taken. And that really make us think about our own state. And that what state are we going to be in when we return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? And that what is going to be the state of our heart? And when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is that he said, and the companions heard him say this, كَيْفَ أَنْعَمُ وَصَاحِبَ الْقَرْنِ قَدْ إِلْتَقَمَ الْقَرْنِ, that how could I that find pleasure in things when the Sahib al-Qarn, the angel that who is in charge of blowing the horn, has that grasped the horn, وَاسْتَمْعَ الْإِذْنِ, and is waiting for permission to blow in it. مَتَى يُؤْمَرْ بِالنَّفْحِ يَنْفُخْ, to blow in it, so then he blows in it. And so, is that in other words, is that this indicates to us our Prophet was aware of this, and he was reflecting upon this. And you can think about that how you would react as a human being if we were cognizant of this. And keep in mind that our Prophet ﷺ said, أَنَا بُعْثُ أَنَا وَسَعَ كَهَاتَيْن, بُعْثُ أَنَا وَسَعَ كَهَاتَيْن, that I was sent, I and the hour, like these two. And he held up his blessed finger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indicating is that he was the last Prophet, and after him is that the hour would happen very quickly, if you look at it in relation to human history and then in relation to that world history. And so, is that our Prophet was aware of this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the narration it says, it's as if that this became heavy upon the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right, because the Prophet says, "Kayfa an'am? How could I, how could I take part and enjoy in this world when this is the reality? Is that this is imminent?" And then when the Prophet noticed is that this weighed heavily upon the companions, as he said, "Qulu hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel," say that Allah is sufficient for us, and what a great trustee He is. "Wa ni'mal wakeel, ala Allahi tawakkalna." We've placed our trust in Allah. In other words, is that trusting in Allah is the greatest thing that we can do to prepare for that moment of being seized and of being taken back to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And that every person will have a sa'ah, but there's the sa'at al-kubra and the sa'at al-sughra. The greater hour is the hour where the world ends and all the souls are taken. The lesser hour is your and I's own death. That's our sa'ah. And that if we go before this takes place, then we will wait in our graves. And we'll hear shortly about, right, being resurrected from the grave. So the Prophet ﷺ that directed us towards that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prepare for this. Now, so then that Allah Ta'ala says in verse number 50, فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْسِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And then they can make no bequest, nor return to their people. They're not going to have time to make any bequests, that nor will they have a chance to return to their own people. So that when this hour happens, Allah is that indicating to us how quickly it happens, and that what are the what really is at stake here is that normally if something's going wrong, that you want to check on your family, you want to do something, you want to put something in place, is that if you have a little bit of time to prepare, if that natural disaster is coming, if there's a hurricane on its way, if there's a tornado on its way, you have a little bit of time. You can do something to protect your loved ones, to protect your family, to that do something you have to do to protect some type of wealth or something that you have. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. When this moment happens, this is not going to be the case. But they can make no bequest. There's no tosia. There's no bequest that they can make. And that there's no debt that they can take care of. There's no money that they can then that give to someone. Is that they, and what it's saying is that they die instantly wherever they are. Whether they're in the marketplace, wherever it is that they're standing, wherever it is that they're sitting in that moment, that's what happens. There's no time for them to that do anything of this. وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Nor do they have the chance to return to their people. So they can't go that back to their people and that speak to them or to talk to them or to take care of them or to help them or to protect them or anything like that. Nope. وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And that, in other words, is that at this point, is that there is that no opportunity for them to be granted respite, is that it happens immediately. And then Allah Ta'ala informs us about the second blowing. And this is known as the Nafkhatul Ba'th wal Nushur, the blowing of the resurrection. The blowing of the resurrection. And that the blowing of the resurrection from the grave. So Allah Ta'ala says in verse 51, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. And the trumpet will be blown, then behold, they will rush forth from their graves unto their Lord. So وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. So that then the horn will be blown. And the ulama say, based upon hadith, that the time between the first blowing of the horn and the second blowing of the horn is 40 years. And once that happens, فَإِذَا. Again, we have the إِذَا الْفُجَائِيَ. And then all of a sudden, as it's translated here, behold. All of a sudden, behold. فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ, which are the قُبُور, the أَجْدَاثِ or the قُبُور, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. ينسلون أي يخرجون بسرعة. They will come out quickly. And the trumpet will be blown, then behold, they will rush forth from their graves unto their Lord. And that Allah Ta'ala also says, يوم يخرجون من الأجداد سراعا كأنهم إلى نصب يوفضون. In Surah Al-Ma'arij. And where will they be taken? Is that they will be that driven towards the plain very quickly of judgment, where they're going to then be taken to account for everything that we did. And Imam Razi mentions, brings up these very beautiful subtle points. As he says, is that how could the two blowing of the horns that affect two things that are actually opposite? So the first blowing of the horn took the lives, and so that everyone died. The second blowing of the horn brought everyone back to life. So he's saying, how could the blowing of the horn simultaneously that take life and then give life? And he just says very simply, is that this teaches that there's no mu'athir. No one will cause an effect except Allah Jalla Jalala. Jalla Jalalu. The naf, the blowing of the horn, is just just the outward dimension of that. And so that that it's just the means that for the taking of the spirit, but the reality that it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who caused that. And likewise, when it's blown the second time, is that this is where then Allah ta'ala will that give the soul that life again and bring the bodies and that everyone who had ever lived back to life. Now, and then he also points out something else very beautiful here. So, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ, and the trumpet will be blown, فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ, then behold, they will rush forth from their graves, إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ, from their graves unto their Lord, إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ. And he says here, is that this is a mulkif, or a moldit of heba. This is a time of, this is a very serious time, where that this is intense. And the way that this is said here, إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ, that in using that Rabb indicates mercy almost, right? Because of the way that it sounds and the meanings of Rabb. So that he's saying that wouldn't it seem that it would be better to use that a Rabbu of something, of some type of idafa construct that would indicate this haiba and the intensity of this mokif? And he says, no. Is that obviously this is the words of Allah Ta'ala. The way that it was expressed is the very best way of all. He says, and the way that we can understand this is that that by speaking of it in this way, إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ, that because they disbelieved, when it all is said and done and they see the consequences of their choices, and they realize that how they could have received the mercy of Allah, and they realize is how they could have received the beautiful that manifestations of Allah's beautiful attributes, is that their nadama, is their remorse will be even greater as a result. So it's there for that particular purpose. Is that, and this is why that they say is that one of the greatest forms of punishment, if not the greatest form of punishment, of people that end up in the fires, that they realize they could have been in paradise. As they realize they could have lived a life whereby which that their Lord would have been content with them. That they say that that is that more painful, according to some, than even the physical torment of hell itself, which is unimaginable. But knowing what it is they could have attained, knowing what that they could have that achieved from being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah. Now, and then that Allah ta'ala speaks of in verse 52, what happens that after the resurrection, as the ahwal and the makhawif, the terrors, start to take place. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعْدَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَالصَّدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. They will say, oh, woe to us, who has raised us, who has resurrected us from our resting places. They will be told, in brackets, this is what the All-Merciful promised, and the messengers told the truth. So they will say, eh, the disbelievers, قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا يَا وَيْلَنَا يَا وَيْلَنَا. And we say this in English as, oh, woe to us. We don't tend to use that much anymore, but although we still know what it means. But wail is, that, as the grammarians say, is the kalimat of adab. Whereas wayh is a kalima of tarahum. So if you say to someone, waylak, right? It's like, woe to you. And if they say, wayhak, it's still a type of review, but there's mercy in that address. And so this is indicating the internal pain. When they say, Ya waylana, that they're pained by recognizing, Ya Allah, what the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that promised us, Ar-Rahman, this is what he promised. The messengers told the truth. Every single human being will realize on the Yom Kiyamah that the messengers told the truth. The messengers told the truth. And they will that have a regret that is indescribable. Because everyone knows that they've been given the chance to believe. Everyone had a window. No one will deny it. And no one will ever say on Yom Kiyamah that they were dealt with unjustly. Everyone will realize it. May Allah prepare us and bless us to make the right decisions now, believe as it is we're supposed to believe, do as it is that we're supposed to do, Ya Rab. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings. But this is what happens. That Ya Waylana, woe to us. And so they're calling this wail to indicate to themselves this deep pain that they have as a result, because they see what's going to happen to them as a result of denying the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا, that who has raised us from our resting places, right? And they, of course, that know the answer to that. And then the angels respond to them when they ask that question. So they will say, i.e. the disbelievers, oh woe to us, who has raised us or resurrected us from our resting places. Then the angels will say to them, هَذَا مَا وَعْدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. This is what the All-Merciful promised, and the messengers told the truth. Right? Hadha, the ba'ath, the resurrection. And that other Mufassirun say is that they're not the angels, but the believers say this to them. That others say that it's the disbeliever speaking to other disbelievers, remembering what it is that they were warned and told by the messengers. And some say that this is the disbelievers speaking to themselves. So all of those are possible interpretations. It's from the angels, it's from the believers, it's from another disbeliever, or they're speaking to their self. هَذَا مَا وَعْدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. This is what the All-Merciful promised, and the messengers told the truth. And Ibn Ajiba mentions a very nice ishara here, and he says, إِذَا كَبَرَ يَقِينُ الْعَبْدِ, when the certainty becomes stronger in the servant, صَارَتْ عِنْدُهُ الْأُمُورِ الْمُسْتَقْبَلَ وَاقِعَةً وَالْعَاجِلَ عَاجِلَ, is that future affairs that are going to happen in the future, is that it will be as if that they have happened in the present, or that they are imminent. فَيَسْتَعِدْلَهَا, and thus they will prepare for them. So there's something about belief when it strengthens such that it reaches that higher degrees of certainty. Is it things that we know that are going to happen in the future through belief, we will act as if they're about to happen right now. And we'd mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, right, in his awareness, and we know that the Prophet, is that never did he chew a morsel of food or that take a sip of water or blink his eye, except that he thought that would be the last time that he did so. He was ever aware, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of his mortality, and that he could return to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu in any moment. And so, that awareness that comes from the yaqeen helps us to prepare before it actually happens. And then Allah Ta'ala clarifies that the quickness that how this all happens. إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. It was but a single cry, then behold, they will all be brought, or they will all be arraigned before us. In other words, is that they will be brought back to life, they will be gathered, and then that they will then that be judged, that after they are brought before us. مُحْضَرُونَ. Hadur is to be present, that hadara is to be present in verbal form, ahadara is to make someone present. So muhdurun, they will be made present. And as people are moving quickly, they'll be driven to the plane of judgment. And that some ulama say is that this sayha that is referred to here, some of them say, is that a call that is made on the day of resurrection, that is made while people are being gathered but for their judgment. And then in verse 54, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْرِمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Today no soul will be wronged in any way in the least, and you will not be recompensed save for that which you used to do, save for your deeds. In other words, on the Day of Judgment, is that no one will be cheated, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Everyone will get whatever it is that they deserve. And he shows his bounty to whom he pleases. Everyone gets what they deserve. And he shows his bounty to whom he pleases, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which opens up a whole other question. And that this sense of entitlement that many people have. What do we actually really deserve? What do we actually really deserve? If we think about our own selves, and we think about our shortcomings, and we think about all the blessings that we've been given, and the way that we respond to the things that we do, and the very few things that we're told not to do, and the fact that we do them, and in a sense, try to vie with the Lord of the heavens and the earth with our puny nafs. All these different things that we can do lawfully, and then we end up doing something that we know is unlawful. Trying to gratify our desires to do something that we want. What are we doing? Why is it so serious? Is that we're putting ourselves, which essentially, we're like nothing. We're almost completely non-existent. Our reality is that we are non-existent, but we're here, but we're as if we're nothing. And we're putting our will before the will of the Lord of the heavens and the earth. And so, that on the Day of Judgment, لَا تُظْلُمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No soul will be wronged in any way. In other words, this doesn't mean that people will not be punished. On the contrary, that it indicates is because we have wronged our own selves. We have wronged our own selves by what it is that we chose to believe in, or by what a human being chooses to have believed in, or what it is that a human being chose to have done. And that Allah Ta'ala says also in Surah Ali Imran, وَمَا ظَلَمْهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah did not wrong them, وَلَكِنْ أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. But they have wronged their own selves. So, but at the same time, وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You will not be recompensed save for that which you used to do. There will be justice. There will be justice. And that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will, that this will be the day where that justice is served. And we have a detailed description of how that is actually done. Now, and if we think about some other verses, that فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابِي بِيَنِمِينَهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُكُرْءُ كِتَابِيَهِ إِنِّي ظَنَتُ أَنِّي مُلَاكَنْ حِسَابِيَهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةً رَاضِيَةً فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةً قُضُوفَ دَانِيَةً كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Anyone who has given his record in his right hand will say, here is my record, read it. I knew I would meet my reckoning. I knew I would meet my reckoning. They were ready for it. And so he will have a pleasant life and a lofty garden with clustered fruit within his reach. It will be said, eat and drink to your heart's content as a reward for what you have done in days gone by. وَمَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَشِمَالَهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتِنِ لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَهِ. But anyone who has given his record in his left hand will say, if only I had never been given my record. Ya Allah. يَا لَيْتَنِ لَمْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابِيَ وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَ يَا لَيْتَ كَانَتَ الْقَاضِيَ مَا أَغْنَ عَنِي مَالِيَ هَلَكَ عَنِي سُلْطَانِيَ. If only I had never been given my record and knew nothing of my reckoning, how I wish death had been the end of me, my wealth has been no use to me, and my power has vanished. And so that this is the other response, وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَ and knew nothing of my reckoning. And that this is the that what happens. As that this is one group of people who take this seriously while they're here in this world. As that even if other people laugh at them and scoff at them and to wink at them and poke fun at them and make all of these types of things that happen to people that try to remain upright, and that the pressure that is on the younger generation specifically, and all people but especially the younger generation, that in school to be a certain way or to do certain things, and if you haven't done this, that, all of these things that are very difficult for people to overcome. But this is why we need Iman. And even though we have to try everything we can do outwardly to try to mitigate these situations, to preserve people, youth and others, that what this really requires is Iman. It really requires Iman. To protect us from that, all of these different things. And that Allah Ta'ala says towards the end of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا, the criminals. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا, those who that did wrong, they were criminals, that they used to laugh at the believers. كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. And this was how they used to, this is how they used to treat them. They used to laugh at them. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. And when they passed by them, what did they do? Is that they just kind of hoodwinked, and they kind of winked at each other and kind of and made fun of them. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. And that they would return to that their families, that boasting. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ فَكِهِينَ. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. When they see them, they say that they are astray. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. But they have not been sent to protect them. يَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَحْكُونَ. But on the day of resurrection, is that, see who will be laughing at who. See who will be laughing at who. Is that the people of belief will be laughing, right, at the people of disbelief. They'll be on raised couches, looking at one another. هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Is that, were the disbelievers that given as a reward, that based upon what it is that they did. In other words, this is what happens here in this dunya, is that this is Quran. This has been happening for hundreds and hundreds of years. There's always been religious people that have been made fun of. There's always been religious people that have been ridiculed and mocked. And if you try to maintain your deen, whether you were in middle school or in high school or in college or even at the workplace or in your social groups or even with your neighbors, anyone that is that you're interacting with in many societies, and sometimes it's even difficult for Muslims in Muslim societies because things have gotten so bad, is that people are that so sold on this idea of the West, is that sometimes even people in Muslim families find this difficult. We should remember the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These golden words, and all of his words are golden, but these should be written in gold, and we should remember them. And what our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, this deen began as something strange, and it will return as something strange, so glad tiding to the strangers. بَدَأَ دِينَ غَرِيبًا وَسِعُودُ غَرِيبٌ كَمَا بَدَأَ فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. Glad tidings to the strangers. And when our Prophet said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is solace, especially for us in the end of time. As we get closer and closer to the end of time, the more and more difficult it is to be that religious people, is that this should strengthen us. And that thinking about the reality of this affair, is that death is near. And anything that is going to come is near. We must prepare for it. May Allah Ta'ala prepare all of us for the meeting with our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we have firm faith and be able to respond to every situation in the way that is most pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala open up our hearts to the meaning of these verses, Ya Allah Rabbil Alameen. Allah, we ask you, Allah, not to make our portion only the movement of our tongue, but may we have tahakkuk and realize these verses and put them into practice in a way, to practice in a way that is beloved to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ya Rahman Rahmeen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.